a minister told his congregation, "Next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark chapter 17. The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark chapter 17. Every hand went up. The minister smiled. "Mark has only 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." Now, if I asked you to read something for next week, and I asked if you had, but you just didn't have time, didn't get around to it, or just plain forgot, how would you answer if I asked you like that hypothetical minister did? Would you lie to me? I would hope you wouldn't, and instead own up to your negligence, throwing yourself on my and God's mercy. But from our experiences with human nature and that joke, we know that people, depending on the circumstances, probably more than not, will look you in the eye and flat out lie to your face. As many lies are as necessary to spin a plausible story for as long as it takes to ward off any perceived danger or unpleasant consequences. Do we not see this emphatically these days? One just needs to open a social media feed, a news broadcast, or even a newspaper, and be assaulted with a veritable smorgasbord of lies of varying sizes, ages, and sophistications. Truly, we live in a world of lies. That we are surrounded by lies, swimming in an endless ocean of lies, breathing an atmosphere choking with a limitless, dense haze of lies, actually should not be in the least be surprising. Because if we truly know our Bibles, if we read and study them daily, we should know without even thinking about it that this world is currently being ruled by probably the very first being in all time to lie, named the Father of Lies by the Son of God, the very personage of truth, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, all through the scriptures, have told us that the devil is a liar, the father of lies, who speaks his native language, which is lies. So if he is the current ruler of this world, illegitimately though he is, having gained this position by what else? Spinning a big lie, then it should be our default position to question absolutely everything we hear and see. We should automatically compare everything to God's word to see if it's true and if any of it has been poisoned with lies. But we can't do that unless we ourselves know what is true, by having so immersed ourselves in the Bible that we know God's character and know him so well that we start thinking like him and seeing through his eyes and understanding the world through his wisdom and supernatural insight. For example, we should automatically know without having to even thinking about it that abortion is not only wrong, not only a sin, but among the gravest sins humans can commit. For it is devil worship. It is not only flat-out cold-blooded murder, not only killing, plain and simple. A life has been created by God himself by putting an actually visible light spark of his spirit into the egg cell upon the entry of the sperm cell, and the two cells supernaturally become one, a new, unique, never seen before, and never to be repeated ever again, human being. And in our modern wicked world, a woman can rid herself of the blessing of participating in the growing of a new human life given by God himself by just taking a couple of pills and flushing that precious human life into the toilet. And those chemicals and those tiny baby body parts decay, dissolve, and pollute our water supplies, as our water purification systems were never designed to filter out those evil, life-killing, forever chemicals and human remains. Yes, folks, we're drinking our baby victims. Over 60% of abortions now are chemically induced. Murder by mail-order pills. The numbers are growing. Some prescribers advise the women to not look into the toilet before they flush it to spare themselves trauma of seeing their just murdered little babies' faces as they swirl down the drain. This, folks, is the plain and simple truth. But, oh no, it's not sinister. It's not ghastly. It's a woman's right. It's a woman's right to choose. And she becomes, by default, judge, jury, and executioner. No one should have such power. No human. Only God. And only God has such rights. By virtue of the fact that He is God, and He is love, light, life, and truth, all rolled into one. But the evil, useful idiots bristle at even a whispered pro-life word. It's not killing. It's not murder. People, it's health care. It's women's reproductive health care. It's their right to have free access to health care. Truth be told, there's not one whit of health care about it. It's about worshiping the devil and his ghastly angels and hordes of demons under their sway. And all of it just to spite God, whom the devil hates with a passion unimaginable to us. But abortion is just the beginning. The devil lied to Eve, telling her that eating the fruit would make her like God. Well, a shortcut to bettering oneself, right? Wouldn't anyone jump at the chance to become like God? Thus all the trillions of dollars being spent right now to extend life's spans, tweak our DNA, re-engineer our bodies, fit us with biomechanical parts, augment our brains with neural computer implants, featuring new powerful AI data systems. What could go wrong? Why do all this? Because rebellious humans really want to become gods. God. To replace Him. And how will it all end? In total destruction. It's so prophesied. We know that. The devil knows that. But in his inconceivable arrogance, he probably believes that somehow, some way, he can outsmart God and avoid his prophesied eternal incarceration in the lake of fire. So if people won't worship Satan, then kill them already. Get them while they're young. If they escape medical research garbage bins outside in vitro fertilization laboratories, then get them while they're still in the womb. If they escape that, then shoot them while they're in schools. Christian and Jewish schools are the preferred priority targets. If they escape even those, then confuse them about their gender. So poison after poison into the objective truths of their body's gender, so they think they're in the wrong style of body and that it needs to be changed, surgically, pharmaceutically. And those poor souls seeking to relieve themselves of their mental pain and anguish all too often end up killing themselves, committing suicide after they've lashed out at the devil's instigation and killed several other human beings. But this justice isn't enough, not even close. For God's people just won't stay dead. They just keep coming back. Those pesky Jews, they won't die. Those abominable Christians, they just won't shut up and get with Satan's Antichrist program. So kill them all. But they won't all die. Got to get them to turn on themselves. Got to get them confused and working at cross purposes. got to sow poisons into the truth they believe in, so they'll fight each other and at least allow the devil free rein in other areas of human existence to cause them delicious torment and suffering. Divide and conquer. Works for humans. Seems it was the devil's original idea. After all, he did manage to convince a whole one-third of the angels to go along with him. One-third fighting against two-thirds. Well, not impossible odds. But fighting against God, the one's very own creator? Well, if God would just stay on the sidelines, then the devil could yet get a major win out of all his troubles. But no, God won't allow the devil to despoil all of creation. God has other plans. And in the perfect fullness of time, Father God sent Son God to put the ultimate monkey wrench into the devil's plans. With Lord Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, all the legal rights the devil had over humanity's rightful authority and domain over this earth, all of it was lost as our Lord willingly breathed his final breath on the cross. But in the meantime, there's still time to wreak more and more havoc. Destroy as much as possible. Get those ugly Jews to fight each other. Get those crooked, hypocritical Christians to turn on each other. Sow more poison into the truth. Get them to disagree on some doctrine or other. Doesn't really matter. Just so they start thinking it vital and necessary to fight over. Divide them against their brethren, the Jews. Make them anti-Semites. Turn the promises and unbreakable covenants of God against his own people, both old and new covenants. Empower supposedly Christian pundits and influencers like Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, and Candace Owens, etc., to start spouting lies against Jews and each other. Divide, divide, divide. Divide and then conquer those mewling Christians singing their putrid praise songs. Cause them to spy on each other, suspect each other, compete against each other, and war against each other. It was mildly successful in the Middle Ages. This time, finish them off. Believers, you should now realize and recognize what you and I are up against. We must unify on the truth. Our Lord and Savior warned us repeatedly, do not be deceived. Pray and read the word. Read and pray. Rinse and repeat. It's the end times. The Lord may call us up tomorrow. So be ready. Let us pray. We thank you so much, dear Lord Jesus, our Savior, for sending us your blessed Holy Spirit to help us in doing all of these things, to being able to recognize what is false, what the lies are, the poisons that have been injected into otherwise true things. Help us, Holy Spirit. Motivate us to spend our time in your word, that we may know how to think and understand the way you do. For Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen.